Look, what do I say to her once we get in the car?
No problem, Red. What you need is my special 5-point plan.
Come on, Damone, I need real help here.
What do you mean? Hey, men have died trying to obtain this valuable information, you know. But I'll give it to you for free.
Okay, what's your 5-point plan?
All right. Now pay attention. First of all, Rat, you never let on how much you like a girl.
Oh, Debbie.
Hi.
Two, you always call the shots. Kiss me. You won't regret it. Now three, act like wherever you are, that's the place to be. Isn't this great? Four, when ordering food, you find out what she wants, then order for the both of you. It's a classy move. Now the lady will have the linguine and white clam sauce and a Coke with no ice. And five, now this is most important, Rat. It comes down to making out. Whenever possible, put on side one of Led Zeppelin 4.
It's the Lifers Podcast with Scott Lucas, Gabe Rodriguez, and Ben Reiser. And now, here's Scott, Gabe, and Ben.
We haven't talked about your day job, which is Led Zeppelin 2.
Yeah. What about it?
Well, we do this thing. We figured that would make you an expert on Led Zeppelin. So we do this thing around here called What's the Best?
Can we talk about what Led Zeppelin 2 is? Is that a Led Zeppelin cover band?
It is.
And it's, do you only do Led Zeppelin 2?
No.
No.
Oh, okay.
We have. We did when it was 2019. That was the 50th anniversary of that record. We did Zeppelin 2 for a whole year.
Did you do a 50th anniversary of Led Zeppelin 1?
For only one show.
Okay.
House of Blues, we did 1 and 2, and then we never did 1 again. And then 2020, before the world shut down, we did 26 shows of Led Zeppelin 3, and that was fucking fun as hell.
Wow.
I love that record.
Yeah, so I do too. I do too.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So and you guys and you've gotten the seal of approval from Robert Plant, right?
I mean, he some words fell out of his mouth that I wanted to hear. It was one of those things like I don't care that you're doing this, like that kind of a thing. And
right.
I'm like, good enough for me, man. You know, yeah. I will testify in court if I'm, you know, being sued by Jimmy Page or whatever, whoever controls that shit. You know?
Sure.
Bonham's sister or whatever, or
right.
Even Bonham's son. Robert right. said it was cool, you know.
I think Yoko's got something to do with it.
Probably.
Oh, always. So we do this thing called What's the Best?
Okay.
And we figured we'd do the best Led Zeppelin songs.
Okay.
Unless you don't want to do this, unless you're so tired of talking about Led Zeppelin.
No, I don't mind at all. I mean, come on. Okay. It's Led Zeppelin. You kidding me? They're only, you know, the greatest rock and roll band that ever existed.
I'm not going to argue.
I'm going to argue.
Well, all right.
Oh, Gabe's going to argue.
What are you going to say? Like that Tony Martin era of Black Sabbath is better or something like that? You're like, who is Tony Martin? I'm like, look it up. Sorry.
I like Led Zeppelin, but I think they should write more choruses. They're a jam band that doesn't
Christ.
Write a chorus.
Okay, here we go. I can't do this. All right, here we go. What's the best?
What's the best?
Led Zeppelin. So
three songs.
Hopefully you have some alternates in case one of us steal one of yours. But you are going to go first.
Okay.
And Ben goes second, right?
No,
Gabe
I think
goes
I went.
Third, and I go last.
Cool.
Is that right? Okay.
I
might
you go
third.
You go third. Gabe goes second. Is that what's going on here?
Sure.
Okay. Bruce, take it away.
Number one, Achilles' Last Stand.
Ooh.
We're just gonna do one at a time.
Yeah, one at a time.
All right.
A very Achilles' Last Stand, kind of in the most Iron Maiden-esque of Led Zeppelin songs.
I hear a little bit of Replacements. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, so. Come on. Have you turned into a presence guy after all these years?
Except for T for One. I refuse to listen to Sense of My Loving You Part 2. You know, that's like the one song. I like the beginning of it. It has promise, and then it just... Everything else is pretty good. I don't mind it. Candy Store Rock, fucking For Your Life, Royal Orleans, Nobody's Fault But Mine. You know, yeah. I like
it's a great
stuff.
Record. It's a great record. It's probably the record that fuels Gabe's idea that they are... a band without choruses more than any of their other records. It's an erroneous view, Gabe. You're not right about this.
I'm not 100% wrong, but I'm onto something. But anyway, it's okay. They can write a song without a chorus and still get away with it.
Do you like Achilles' Last Stand, Gabe?
I do, but I'm not a big fan of that album. It's the least played album besides Coda ever.
Have you ever listened to Presence all the way through? I don't think you have.
That's okay. That's okay. You don't have to. Most people don't.
I think if you're a rock fan, you do have to, actually. You do.
Even Bruce says he skips a song, so that's okay.
He's heard it.
Yes, but he skips it. He doesn't go through it every time.
He's aware of what he's skipping.
I'm not, and it's the same result.
You're like a Jesus freak. Yeah.
Who's second?
You are.
Boycotting Last Temptation of Christ. Go ahead.
I'm going to pick a song that was covered by a straight edge band, Judge. They covered When the Levee Breaks, and I'm picking it. I'm picking it. Just that riff alone is enough. Who cares about a chorus? You don't need a chorus. Is there a chorus in that song?
Wait. Hold on. Say it again. Who cares about a chorus? You don't need a chorus?
Sometimes a riff is enough. Just the groove.
And if the riff is being written and played by Led Zeppelin, it's going to be enough.
It's enough.
You just admitted that your entire argument is stupid.
No, I like it now and again where there's no chorus, but not every song. Go ahead.
All right. You don't deserve to pick this song, by the way.
I picked it. When the Levee Breaks, number one.
It's about as great as a Led Zeppelin song is going to be. I mean, it's right up there. I'm pissed that you
I stole it.
You stole it from me. But I'm not pissed that you stole it from me. I'm pissed that you, because you don't, you know, like that scene in White Men Can't Jump where it's like, where Wesley Snipes says to Woody Harrelson, you can't hear Jimmy
Hendrix. Oh, that version of White Men Can't Jump?
Yeah. You can't hear When the Levee Breaks. And you're only picking it because of Judge? No.
I didn't pick it because of them. I'm saying it's an aside, a little tidbit.
Okay.
But when you hear that song, when you hear that song, it's just the groove alone is all it takes. That's it.
It's about the groove, the drum sound, the vocal, the way all the sounds are placed in the mix, the way it's constantly moving side to side. It's like it's the blues, but it's psychedelic blues. It's Bruce, help me out here.
You heard that whole story about that record and how Jimmy had the master tapes or whatever on a plane. And I think he was flying from LA. I think they did a record plant or something, and they went to New York and they put him on, and all of the mixes did not sound the way he had them, except for Levee. That was the only one that was salvageable, and they had to go back and remix the rest of the record. You ever heard that? Look it up.
So.
Yeah. It's kind of a cool story. I mean, I read that like 4 or 5 years ago, and I was like, what? He claimed the tape got demagnetized or something or whatever on the plane. Who the fuck knows? But like all the mixes were fucked up. He was freaking out. But the only song that came from that initial mix that he did, the mix that he had in his mind was Levy. And that was it. Everything else, not so much.
Oh,
I was like, wow. Last time I talked to Jimmy, we were like in a gutter, drinking really fancy wine, and we did not talk about Led Zeppelin at all. We were trying to cop some asphalt.
There was one, I used to live with Gabe over in Wrigleyville. Okay. We were on Sheffield, and I wake up one day, I'm on the couch, completely waking up from being passed out, and I got all these messages on the phone, and it's all these people that were working at Smart Bar, and like, Scott, Jimmy Page is over here. You got to get over here. Click. Scott, Jimmy Page is here. He's talking to everybody. You got to come over here. I mean, like 10 messages, like, Jimmy Page is here, and I'm on the couch like.
Dang it.
Maybe he would have told me that story. I could have gone out on the tiles with him.
Hey-o.
Ben, what do you got?
This is, I think, the first Led Zeppelin song that I was aware of. I was in junior high school. I guess it was 78, 79. I don't know. We were all just getting into music, me and my friends. But I remember being at a pizza place at like lunch hour at my high school, and they had a jukebox. They were just playing the radio, and everyone seemed to know this song already. But
Stairway to Heaven.
Right, that would have been the obvious one. It was a Communication Breakdown.
Ah!
So, all right, nice. That's my first pick. That was my intro to Zeppelin.
You know, that's a good record. Led Zeppelin 1 does not get the respect that it deserves. I mean, it's just raw. It's communication. It's punk, like Communication Breakdown, Days of Confused. Sometimes I think that's the best one. Anybody else into this
pretty
idea?
Good. Your time is going to come. I love that song.
Oh, yeah. But then I think about it a little bit more and I realize, no, Physical Graffiti is the best record, right? I mean, all the classic rock greats, their best records, I think, are double albums. The Beatles, the White Album, the Stones, Exile on Main Street, and Zeppelin, Physical Graffiti. So I think the best Zeppelin song, and I wasn't going to pick this one, but you took When the Levee Breaks, In the Light. In the Light has
sick
everything on it. It's just, it's perfect.
It's a great one, for sure. For sure.
Now that strikes me as one that's especially up your alley, Bruce. Like it's got all the, ticks all the boxes for you.
Yeah, it does, and it's really fun to play. We played it the second night of House of Blues this past January, and I got a little what do you call one of those Indian raga tone boxes, you know, that's tuned to Paul doing the bow stuff, and right. Yeah, it's fun, and it moves. It's rhythmically, it shifts interestingly. The lyrics are cool. Everything's great about it. And I'm with you. I think Physical Graffiti is their best record. You know, first off, you get more bang for your buck, and right. You know, even though there's a bunch of songs that they, you know, were kind of, I wouldn't call them throwaways from other records, but just stuff that didn't seem to work for House of Holy. They work with all the stuff that they wrote. That, you know, I mean, it all flows so nicely. You know,
it really does.
I was gonna say, we, you know, as the thing we've been doing for the past number of years, playing the 50th anniversary of all these records, we are really gearing up for 2025. We're doing that record for a whole year,
man.
All the way through. And we've done it before. We played it. We played at House of Blues a couple times, and it's great. You know, but we're gonna tighten it up and really, you know. Yeah, I mean, fuck, play that or play Night Flight, you know.
Yeah.
Shit like that. It's just fucking fun. So anyway, yeah, great record. That song kills, you know. You can't.
Gorgeous it, so. Guitar tones on that record, too. Like, just.
No shit.
God unbelievable. Damn.
Like, yep.
All right.
So good.
That brings it back to you. What do you got?
Huh. Well,
did anybody steal any of your picks?
Nope. No. I mean, In the Light would definitely be up there. I didn't have it picked, but it was on my mind, and so was Levy. Honestly, they were floating around there, but my second would be Tangerine.
Nice.
Not only is it one of my favorite songs, it's fucking so fun to play.
Yeah.
You know? And like I said, when we did that record, you know, in 2020, we played House of Blues every year because we would have our friend Steve Doyle from the Hoyle Brothers come out and play. He played the slide guitar and stuff, you know,
right,
for the solo,
the pedal stuff.
Just a little guy. And, he couldn't come on the road with us in 2020, so I did it. I played it. I'm like, I am not a very proficient guitar player or slide guitar player, so I had tape marking where I needed to go.
Right.
But I could rhythmically pull it off. But it was really fun, and I fucking love that song. It's so good.
I do too. And I love that solo. Yeah. I love the sound of that solo. It just sounds.
Yeah.
It sounds like 70s FM radio rock. It's just so, there's something slightly trippy about it. It's simple and yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking gorgeous.
It's a really good one.
Yeah,
it's got a chorus too, Gabe.
It does.
All right. Is it my turn?
It is.
Yeah. I'm going to take the only Led Zeppelin album my own. I'm pretty sure this is on here. Led Zeppelin 2. I'm going to take a twofer.
No,
Heartbreaker. Oh, I'm taking it. It's a twofer. You get two for the price of one. Heartbreaker, Live and Love and Made. I'm taking it. I'm taking it. Listen to that guitar.
It's pretty great. That's.
It starts out. Yeah. I mean, what's he doing on that guitar to make it sound so unique on the intro?
It's a little amp. He's playing out of tiny amps.
All right.
And it's a Telecaster. You know, it's just. It's not a big, huge Marshall and a Les Paul. It's like shitty, ratty Telecaster, shitty, ratty amp. It sounds amazing.
And those drums. Oh, my God. It's just perfect.
Yeah, the drums, those are tiny little drums, too.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. I should have known you'd do this. I just found it funny because you're doing the twofer thing. You're a twofer guy. You're a two for Tuesday, fella.
You're greedy.
Yes, you get two songs for a price of one on the jukebox, and you better. If you play on the jukebox, do you get both of them? I don't think you do.
No, you don't.
That sucks.
But if you're listening to the radio and they play Heartbreaker and they don't play Live and Love and Made afterwards, you've got a legal case on your hands. You actually do have a chance in court.
Is it that way? Like. Originally, or did it just happen to be that way? Did they come
now,
so close together?
Now, here's the thing. I when I first owned the record, I had it on cassette. And, all right, you know where I'm going with this, right, Bruce? So, the songs were... Thank You is the first song on side two, and Heartbreaker is the last song on side one. So they're not joined together like that.
Yeah. They resequenced that, and then also one, they flipped.
One, right.
Yeah, the size. So the album opens up with Your Time Is Gonna Come instead of Good Times, Bad Times on the cassette. You're like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, I mean,
it's weird.
We didn't know back then when we were kids, but still, I was like, yeah, now. I totally remember that, yeah. But
that had to be a mistake, though. There's no real reason for them to flip the sides.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get that either.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But with this, they were just trying to, like, make sure there was the least amount of blank tape at the end of the side on the cassette.
Right.
Did you know that, Gabe?
You told the story before. I knew.
All right. Well, then let's go to Ben.
Well, I'm going to out myself as the kind of Zeppelin fan whose favorite album of theirs is In Through the Outdoor.
That's totally cool.
And so I'll go Fool in the Rain.
Not as cool, but still pretty cool.
Well, I mean, honestly, all three of my picks could have been from that album. So, I'm just sort of ticking them off. But that was
I like
the one
that record. I think
that one had the melodies for me, and it's got the instrumentation that's all over the place and different rhythms and stuff. And I'm like, yeah.
Recorded at ABBA's studio.
And.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wasn't that one of those records that had different variations on the cover right off the bat?
Yes, I have variation B. It was in a brown paper bag.
And what is it that it's just like different parts of the image are like highlighted, kind of like with that sort of swipe?
It's
of paintbrush kind of thing.
The same scene, but taken from six different places in the bar.
Okay. Oh, so there are actually six totally different
covers. Yeah. That's right. And there's watercolors on the inside.
Yes, right.
Which I've never done. Okay, so it comes back to me. All right, so you bring up Into the Outdoor, which, you know, it's not as obvious a choice as you would think. Most Zeppelin fans would say that's not a good record, but hardcore Zeppelin fans would say it's a good record. The one people don't seem to like at all on all sides is Coda, but Coda has a lot of great tracks that were supposed to end up on Into the Outdoor, like Wearin' and Tearin'. And I believe this song, Ozone Baby. My pick is Ozone Baby. Also has a chorus, Gabe.
I'll see if I can find it.
I mean, it's amazing to me that that the songs that had like any kind of energy or punk energy, they just said, nope, we're going to stick with things like Fool in the Rain and Southbound Soiree. Bruce, your thoughts? Have you guys played that?
Mean, no. We played Southbound one time a long time ago. Never played Caris Alhambra. We've done In the Evening. That's fun as hell.
It's a great song.
But I agree
song.
With you. They really... Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, like, yeah, they could... Ozone Baby and fucking Wearin' and Tearin' would have been... I mean, I don't know if it would have flowed with everything.
Right.
But was it I'm Gonna Crawl? The last song. I mean, it's okay. I don't hate it or love it, but I would have much rather had them end the record with Wearin' and Tearin'. You know, that'd been, you know,
would have been like, a surprise.
You know,
yeah,
rock. I don't rock. No,
right. Yeah, that sounds great.
It's kind of like it's kind of like how Sick Again pops in after all of the kind of acoustic weird stuff, Boogie with Stu and Black Country Woman and all that shit. They get back into
right.
Like they could have done something like that again, or I don't know. Maybe they. You know, we could probably sit here all day long and tell them what they should have done.
Naysay the Zep? You can't naysay the Zep.
Yeah. Nah, bruh.
Good pick. I was about to say good pick, Ben, but that was my pick. Good pick, Scott.
that was a good pick. Good pick there.
Good pick. All right, so your last pick, Bruce, and you're almost out of here.
All right. I'm going to go with our favorite record. Physical Graffiti, and I'm going to go with Down by the Seaside.
Oh, what a great choice. Man, what a great sounding guitar.
I love that. I fucking love that song. It's great to play, too. And when they get into that, you know, dun-dun-dun-dun.
Still doing the twist. Yeah.
Sometimes.
Some folks twisting every day.
Yeah.
I wonder if that guitar is... Have you ever seen those amps that are, like, basically, like, they're, like, suitcase amps? Like, the briefcase amps? I wonder if that's what that tremolo guitar is. It just sounds so...
Oh, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
I wonder.
Don't know. I bet you Paul Campbell by that.
I'll bet you. Yeah. Yeah, where's Paul?
I bet you know.
He's right behind you.
Ah, no!
Gabe, do you know this song?
I do know this song. I didn't know it by name, to tell you the truth. I'm not going to lie. But I know the song.
Why does everyone say they're not going to lie? Who's asking you to lie?
I'm going to out myself and say I don't know this song by name, is what I'm saying.
Okay. Your next choice, do you know it by name?
My next choice?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. It's the song that I always wanted to listen to one instrument at a time because none of those instruments are doing the same thing. Black Dog. I'm taking it.
Nobody wants it but you.
Oh, I'm taking it.
Okay, take it.
I don't know how anybody can think that these four musicians are playing the same song at the same time.
Three.
Well, even the vocals, though. He's doing his own thing. They're all doing their own thing.
Maybe is this one of the trickier ones to get right, Bruce?
Yes. definitely. And it's actually one of the songs when we went from Ian Lee playing drums to Greg Fundis playing drums, we had 10 guys try out. And Achilles was the next song, but the very first song was Black Dog. Because if you couldn't get that turnaround, like right out of the gate, it was funny. I would never talk at the tryouts. I just text. So I just sit there, and I'm in my phone, like I'm just sitting there like this, and I'm texting like Matt Longbons. I don't bother with Paul. I was texting JPJ, and I'd be like, nope. Or I would just give him a look. If he looked up at me and looked at me, we both were like, not going to work.
Right.
And yeah, it is a very tricky song, and Fundis nailed it in the first go around, a whole song. And I was like, this is promising. And then we did Achilles, and he crushed it on Achilles. And I just texted Matt. I go, we're done. And he was the fourth guy out of 10. And Paul was like, we got to give the other guys a chance, you know. I'm like, why? We got the guys right there. He's fucking. And not only he had the energy, it was like those two songs. I mean, maybe one more, but like those are the ones. I was like, oh, fuck, come on. This guy obviously knows what he's doing. And he heard that. Yeah, Black Dog is fucking tough, you know.
Right.
It's a tough one. So, and I get it if people don't get it, they don't hear that. You know, I didn't get it for years, you know. So, I mean, we played that song hundreds of times, you know.
Well, it's because in some ways John Bonham is playing it wrong, and that's why it's so insane. Because you know they showed him the riff, and he's like, "Oh, okay, call, 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 call," and they're like, "What are you doing?" And then he was like, "This is the way it goes." I go, "Okay, I guess." He's a bull in a china shop in that song, and
yeah, right,
yeah, and nobody thinks about it until they try to play it, and they're like, "Wait, what? This is wrong." It's like, "Yeah, but it's right."
Yeah. You know the song Room a Thousand Years Wide by Soundgarden?
Yes.
That's another one where Matt Cameron does like a little, like that one. It starts on like a down, down,
down, down, down, down,
down, down. It's off just a little bit. Somebody covered that. I forgot what band I went and saw, and not a big band. And oh my God, somebody straightened it out. And I was like, this isn't right. This sounds weird.
Right.
Yeah. But like I can only like kind of equate like that kind of. But I mean, Matt Cameron knew exactly what he was doing. I mean, it was, you know, he's that kind of drummer. But I don't know, that somehow those two songs kind of remind me drum wise. Like if you don't get it just right, you're gonna fuck it up.
No, everything's just a little off when it comes to Soundgarden. It's pretty amazing, and you would never know it.
Right.
Speaking of a little off, Ben, what do you got?
In the evening. Thank you. Good night.
Ooh. Nice. Nice.
Now that is the vocal of a man. Like that is a manly, manly vocal. Just the way it sounds. The subject matter. It's like, I need your love. You know, it's like, I don't want your love. I need this. And I'm going to take it. It's not quite that, but it's close, you know. It's an amazing, amazing vocal. When you compare that vocal of that dude then to the vocals on Led Zeppelin 1, where he's screeching. No screeching going on there. It's incredible. The guitar riff, the guitar solo. Jesus.
Yeah. So good. So good. Did you, when you were younger and like you first got into Zeppelin and you saw photos of them when they were young, and then you saw that photo where they're in the field, you know, and Bonham's got the t-shirt on and Page is really skinny and all that. Did they not look like they were like 50 years older than the guys that started that band? And they were only like 30, you know, like they weren't old, but they sure seemed like it, you know? And it was like, what the fuck did the 70s do to you guys?
Right.
You know, like, I mean, we know what they were doing, but like, wow.
It did a lot of living.
A lot of living and a lot of loving, you know.
Yeah. Mm. Mm-hmm. It's just
Zeppelin. But yeah, it was such a contrast to see like huge, like see them then and then later on. And again, they weren't that old. They weren't old. I mean, Bonham was 31 when he died. 31. He seemed like he was 91.
I mean, insane.
Not didn't look it, but I mean, iconically, he was.
Right.
He seemed so much bigger. So, yeah, it's crazy.
Well, think about how old Otis Redding was when he died. And you know, you open his, he would open his mouth and you're like, this dude sounds like he's 78. You know, it's just like it,
how old
it's,
he?
I mean, how old was Otis Redding when he died? 27?
Oh shit, really? I didn't know he was that young.
Damn. Pretty sure he was in his 20s. 28?
Ben, you got it?
I'm working on it. Hang on a second.
I'm stirring it.
26.
26.
Wow.
Otis Redding was 20s. That voice belonged to a 20-year-old, a 20-year-old kid.
Yeah. Holy fuck. Damn. Wow. Amazing.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Totally.
It, that, you know what that is? That's evolution.
Yeah.
Died right here in Madison.
Try to go out and find a 20-year-old kid that sounds like that now. You're not going to be able to do that. Died right here in Madison, right?
Yep.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Okay, here we go. My last pick. Let's go back to number one record. See, Ben, you and I are... We're complimenting each other here.
Yeah,
I'm going to go with How Many More Times from Zeppelin 1.
Mm.
This song is so great, and it has been... I ripped it off so many times. You know, I love this song. I love everything about it. And it's just the energy and just the way it's constantly goes somewhere else. Dig it. This is a song I always play in the jukebox.
Good one.
That's a good jukebox.
Yeah. You like this song, Gabe?
I'm playing it now. I wouldn't know it by name, but I know it by the sound of it.
So Gabe just listens to what we're songs we pick on his headphones.
Yes, because I don't know the songs by name. Who knows the Led Zeppelin songs by name?
It's How Many More Times. They say it over and over.
I'm going to forget it by tomorrow.
I have to for a living.
When they do that, that's the best part of the song.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
Oh yeah. No, that's what they all say. That was almost everything in this song.
Is there
all
a
right,
chorus?
Bruce? What?
No chorus.
Yeah, you don't need a chorus. A wise man with no hair once told me, when the riffs are that good, you don't need a chorus. I guess I was right and you were wrong.
My queen, and now a thousand years